"You are mine, born in fire," he answered, reaching out to take my hand. "And I'm yours, even if only the two of us know it."
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you all of the internet's most popular books and letting you know whether or not you should take the time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. And this week we are diving into a recently released book that has been highly anticipated from Danielle Jensen, who has been really popular in the fantasy scene for years with her Bride Kingdom series. And this book is a Norse mythology retelling. It's A Fate Inked in Blood. It is a historical high fantasy book in where the Norse gods are real and they have real kind of children, or they bless people with a drop of their blood or a drop of their power. So there are demigods running around, and those demigods can control basically the fate of the humans, because humans have predetermined fates that they can't change, but the demigods don't have that binding. And it follows Freya, who is kind of living in a small fishing town, married to an asshole. Mm-hmm. And she has an unknown hidden power that gets found out by a leader in the area who believes a prophecy about her that she will help him rule the world, essentially. And it kind of goes from there, where she's forced into a marriage to a very old dude who's already married. And she's coming into her power and realizing why she was forced to hide it. And there's twists and turns along the way.
Great summary.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have reviews?
I do. But I want to go last.
Okay. That's okay. I can go first. I have a 1-star review from Goodreads, and I thought it was kind of funny. So the only redeeming quality of this book is that it ends. There is more chemistry between two pieces of whole wheat toast than the main characters. At one point, the main character wanted to sacrifice herself, and I was rooting for her. You can only imagine my disappointment when she survived.
That's the one I was going to read.
Read that one.
It's okay. I have more, though.
Okay, good.
Okay. I have two. The first one is a 3-star. Loved the Norse mythology aspect of this fantasy book, but this is from Blood and Ash, but make it Vikings. The plot is very similar. Freya may even be a slightly more annoying version of Poppy. No hate. It's my comfort series. Excited for book 2, but not excited about Freya. And then
so real.
I have a 2-star review that says, "This was something, LOL. 2 stars for Bjorn and Bjorn only."
Wow.
Yep. Okay. My reviews, delete the one Catherine already read. Okay, so I have 2 left.
Thanks for cutting her down, Catherine.
You're welcome. I'm committing a public service.
Yep. The first one, 1-star review, it's just funny. Said, "Honestly, the only thing I liked about it was how pretty the actual book is. Those sprayed metallic edges are holding this book's respectability by their weak little fingers."
Aw.
I literally went and bought the copy after reading the digital version because I saw the sprayed edges one. I was like, that's too pretty to not own.
They have us book girlies in their grasp.
Looks real good on my shelf.
Yeah. Second one, also 1-star review. It's been a long time since a main character was the main reason I disliked a book, but OMG. Freya has to be one of the most insufferable, immature, one-dimensional, and naive characters I've ever read. Her constant stupidity and impulsivity without ever actually learning her lesson made this story very irritating to read. Her inner monologue was so grating. By the end, I could not wait to finish the book and be out of her head.
It's giving Katniss Everdeen.
It's giving like Merida from Brave.
Yeah, it's giving the most annoying girl you've ever met.
Okay, well, despite all of our reviews shitting on the main character, overall Goodreads has 4.1 out of 5, Amazon 4.4 out of 5. It's been pretty popular on the book socials. Where do you guys fall? Actually, Casey, go last.
Yeah, Casey's going last.
I was like,
again.
Do you want me last or first? Yeah.
I give it 4 stars. I really love fantasy, man. And it's just my crack. Like, that's it.
I gave it 4 stars also. Fantasy is like candy. I just can't help myself. I was annoyed with the main character a lot. Probably could have been a 3-star if it weren't for the ending. And that bumped me back up a star.
100%.
Yeah. I gave this book 2 stars. I like truly hated it. Going from the Will of the Many to this book was so fucking brutal. Like, that did not set this book up for success.
No.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, okay, I had 2 main problems. The first is I really, really did not like the way it was written. I felt like something would happen and we'd get 2 full pages of the main character just talking about what happened and rehashing it and then going back on herself and being like, he did this as if this happened. But what will I do if that happened? And that's like the whole book. And I hated it. The second thing.
Didn't notice it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It drove me insane. I'm sort of a stickler about writing style. Personally, I would not read this author ever again. The second thing is Freya herself was extremely unlikable. Not only was she just like really impulsive to a degree that was like really frustrating, but I also just truly felt she was stupid and helpless. Like her choices made no sense. It took her forever to understand things. She did not take control of her situation. I felt like everything she did didn't make sense. Yeah, I actually, for the first half of the book, liked the plot. Like the plot I was good with. And I actually liked a lot the male main character up until about like 50 or 60%. And then I was like, I don't know why he doesn't kill her. Like, I really don't know. Right? Like she's hot and he just strapped in. So anyway, that's my rant. Yeah, it was not for me.
My hope is that this is very Feyre book one and that the way it's set up, book two will be awesome.
But Feyre book one, even if I didn't love her, she had redeeming qualities. I will say that.
Yeah. Okay. And well, so the reason I read the review that I read, the second one, was that I think Feyre and Aelin are both super annoying. Like, but I still love them both, but it's because they like display growth and like have those redeeming qualities and their choices make sense even when I don't agree with them. This character, I was truly like, you are a flimsy little piece of paper in the wind. I don't get you and I don't like you.
That being said, is the book more plot or character?
Oh, it's plot. The character's definitely the plot. Ride.
Yeah.
Okay. I just figured might as well just like officially answer the question.
I mean, like, she literally, and I will say I did get annoyed by it a little bit, but not enough to like deter me. I knew it was coming pretty quickly and pretty soon as starting the book. It was pretty obvious and the foreshadowing was not subtle. I just, the character was an idiot when it, like, Freya was an idiot when it comes to the future. And I'm like, girl, like, figure your shit out. Like, you need to like take matters into your own hands and stop randomly trusting people.
It's pretty selfish.
Yeah.
The next question Casey already answered. Have you or would you read other books by the author? Casey said, no way. I'll pick up book two.
Yeah, I'll pick up book two. But I think after that ending, I need it. I need something to conclude this.
Yeah. It's book two will hold a lot of weight on whether or not I continue the entire series as it comes out.
Okay. Pacing. How long did it take y'all to read?
Not long.
Yeah, like 2 days for me. It was a real quick read.
Oh, it took me like a full week to read this book. Oh my God. I wanted to DNF and I would have DNF'd. Like, it was so not for me.
Well, okay, you heard her. The fantasy girlies like Catherine and me blow through it. Lit fit girlies.
Yeah.
Sorry, we made you read this.
Would you watch a movie or a TV show of this book?
I feel like this has already been done in a movie or TV show. Like, watch Vikings, but add magic.
I think the magic system is the unique piece of this story. The god blood thing.
But it heavily leans on.
It's definitely giving Percy Jackson and how the magic system works.
Yeah. It's Percy Jackson magic system SJM plot.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah, I feel the same. I just feel like I've seen a similar enough movie before that I don't need more.
Vikings have been done.
Yeah.
Vikings have surprisingly not been done nearly as much in the book world, though.
No.
It's true.
This is the first time I had read a Norse mythology based fantasy book.
Same. I know they're out there, but hadn't ever like been popular enough to pique my interest.
Right. I definitely hope someone else makes an attempt. Okay. Sorry, I'm being so petty. Well, okay. Busy girl rating.
If you're a fantasy girly, it's like a 5. It's an easy read. Yeah. It's fantasy candy, like I said.
Yeah, it's a 5 if you like fantasy. If you don't like fantasy, it's probably like a 4 or 3. I still think it's a quick book, but you have to really like fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was bad. I liked the Norse element. However, I thought the world was really simplistic. And so I think
we're going to get more world, though, in the next one.
Yeah, but it was just really simplistic and barely done. Like, I don't know. It didn't give me anything I normally read for. So, and I found it really predictable. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe that. If you're like me, if you ever agree with me, don't read this book.
Well, I think that brings us to our spoiler alert warning, because we're going to delve into it and probably rip it apart if you're Casey.
Yeah, I'm also feeling warned.
Yeah, I'm feeling warned. You know, let's just get into it. If you stop here, if you haven't read it, or if you do want to spoil it for yourself, you can continue listening. But this is where we're going to listen to Casey rant for the next 30 to 40 minutes.
Also, to be just to throw out a fourth opinion, when Lauren Puckett Pope was on from Elle, this was one of her highly anticipated reads of the year. So just a fourth opinion. I know.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. It's gotten a lot of hype. So it is not going to live up to everybody's expectations because it's gotten maybe too much hype. But the hype's there.
Yeah. I think because of the hype of a Rebecca Yarros and an SJM, book publishers and book marketing agencies are taking up fantasy authors and taking up women-based fantasy books because they think that there's a market for it, and they're highly saturating the market with these books without necessarily realizing that not everyone loves fantasy, and there's a difference between an SJM fantasy book and just fantasy the genre, and you might not truly love fantasy, you might just like SJM, and I don't think that book marketers are realizing that.
Hard retweet on that. The reason people like fantasy is different. And so, and SJM brought in readers who don't traditionally love fantasy. Okay, well, first question up here is, what did you think of the world and magic system? Have you read other Norse mythology novels before?
I kind of already answered the second one, but I have not really. I know that I'm pretty sure Rick Riordan wrote a
Norse. I think he has a Norse series.
Because he has an Egyptian one, which I didn't really love, mm-hmm. but I love Percy Jackson.
Yeah,
I think the next SJM
is Norse.
Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about that. That's not official, though. That's like more like chatter online that she signed with Bloomsbury for like another 7 books or something like that. And not Ooh. All of them are ACOTAR. So people have been speculating that she's delving into a new world within the same universe, and it's going to be Norse-esque. So that will be interesting. I would read that 100%.
Yeah. I don't know, after Crescent City 3.
new world, clean slate. She's still a good writer.
I'm dead. Yeah, no, I really haven't read other Norse mythology. That's one of the reasons why I was curious about this book. But yeah, overall, I was honestly really disappointed with the magic system. We kind of mentioned this before, but I really do feel like she kind of ripped off Percy Jackson and just kind of did the most basic version of a magic system, which again, if you like fantasy, I don't think that's a big deal, but for me, I love something new, something exciting, something creative, like something like very political. And this was definitely not. It was just more like traditional fantasy.
I think the magic system was sort of unique in that it was gifted, not just like a familial line, you know? Like,
yeah,
it was bestowed upon families who made sacrifices and things. I don't know. I like didn't mind that. The one plot twist was predictable as hell, but no pun intended. I don't know. I didn't mind the magic system. I thought it was fine. Obviously, I like Percy Jackson and the demigod aspect of things, so like that's fine.
Yeah, I liked the magic system because I think it gives you more depth and knowledge of like an ancient religion, and I always love those kind of mythology based books. The world felt a little one dimensional. I wasn't like invested yeah. in the world, and I will say that the one place that I was invested in was like the sacred site where all of the Viking clans meet up,
mm-hmm.
and that like I've watched Vikings Valhalla, and that felt exactly like that Vikings Valhalla, like. Mm-hmm. Almost down to a T, it's the same location. Like sacred site for pagans, essentially, is what it was portrayed in Vikings Valhalla. So it mm-hmm. felt very similar. I'm it's based in history, so there might have been.
I was gonna say, like, I think it is kind of historically accurate.
Yes. So props, but also it felt very like I had an image in my mind when that popped up.
Yes. Okay, so the gods are characters that like kind of appear. They're sort of in the background. What did y'all think of them?
Not enough. There wasn't enough of the gods. I mean, obviously it's a book setting up a series. So that would be my hope for future books, is that the gods are more involved.
They are. They do appear more than you would see in most books that reference deity. Mm-hmm. In fantasy right now, like they appear at the ceremonies and stuff and like appear to her,
yeah,
and obviously have to appear to bestow their gifts and stuff. So like while we only get little snippets, I did like that it wasn't just like they worship these gods they never ever see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that they were present-ish.
Yeah, I mean,
you go ahead, Catherine.
I was just gonna say, like, I liked that they were present, but I think when you're going to do a Norse-based system, you have to kind of delve more into, like, you can't just expect people to know these Norse gods. Like, you know Thor because of Marvel, but that's about it.
I think she explained the ones that needed explained. I don't know. I feel like if you're reading this, you know who Odin is already, if you're picking up this book.
Oh, I did not.
Really?
No. I also only knew Thor.
Odin is the All-Father.
Oh, good to know. I didn't know that. I finished the book and I still didn't know. But yeah, I agree with Catherine. I feel like this, like, so Norse is like a mythology. It's not like a religion. It's not like a belief. It's like a mythology, like the way Greek and Roman mythology is. And I feel like maybe those books have set things up in a way, because it's very common for people to have background knowledge on Greek and Roman gods. And I felt like you, Catherine, where I was like, I don't think that you can write with the same assumption level. Like, when you pick up a book about Greek mythology, you know, like, oh, these are like meddlesome, trifling, like immature, like little like bitch boys and girls. But like, I don't really know like what Norse gods are. I don't know their relationship to people. And so I actually found them very confusing, and their relationship to the characters very confusing, because I was like, are they ever this involved? What the fuck do they want? Like, are they ever going to tell her? Like, I just feel like there were a lot of assumptions made about their involvement, and I was actually like very confused.
That's fair. I'll give you that part.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe in book two.
Yeah. I think I agree. Like, if you're going to do a book that has to base in a mythology system that already exists, you can't go in with the assumption that everyone's going to understand it. So you're going to have to do at least a little bit of explaining. And like, I don't know. I don't know the gods' motives in this yet. And maybe that's something interesting to look into in the future. But like, especially in today, in the 21st century, when most people's baseline knowledge of this mythology is based on a Marvel movie that is completely inaccurate to the actual mythology. It's used basically just so that someone had lightning powers and was a hot male character. You kind of have to rewrite
Loki
it.
Is accurate.
But not really, but
five mischief.
Yeah, but like, he's not a frost.
I know.
Yeah. So it's like
yeah.
I don't know. Like, you have to basically rewrite what already people think about this, because it's not accurate to what actual mythology
is. That is what's tricky when you pick mythology-based fantasy books. Something that, like, I know we keep saying Percy Jackson. Like, Rick Riordan does really, really well picking up this mythology system and making it super digestible. And now we all know everything about the Greek gods, you know?
Yeah.
So I do see what you're saying. Like, if you... I just thought more people had background knowledge, so that's my B.
I mean, I've been to Iceland, and so I've seen kind of how things, like, there's a lot of museums that have Odin, and they have Loki, and they have Freya, and they have Hel, and they have, like, those kind of mythologies printed on boats and stuff. But even seeing that stuff, it's not super digestible, like, because we didn't have that primer. Like Percy Jackson, that's just a primer into Greek mythology. Yeah. And I also took Latin, so that took a lot of mythology into account. So even with background knowledge, at least minimum background knowledge into Norse mythology, I still was like a little lost on the minor gods and like what all this was.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of... Well, we already talked about what we think of Freya. What about how her story starts out? She's married to this deadbeat who can get fish with his powers from the gods, and is basically like abused and has to stay in this terrible marriage or else her family suffers. So like, what do you think about this little rags to riches kind of start to the story?
So this is actually when she kills her husband is when I started not liking the book. Not because I didn't like that she killed him. I love that she killed him. But then her like emotional reaction afterwards felt so immature and stupid. And like everything she like thought about her actions just felt really inauthentic and forced. And it just sort of started my like inability to relate to her or like empathize with her. Because I feel like she really was like a character who didn't understand herself at all. So like, obviously I hated her husband, but like it also to me, like her murdering him. Okay. So she hates him and he's like a horrible person. Her family forces her to marry him. And yet she is like convinced that she must like lay herself down on the path in front of like a moving train on behalf of her family. Like there are just so many things stemming from this.
Her family sucks. And it doesn't make me...
suck.
Like they're not redeemable enough for her to want to make this sacrifice.
Yes. And I'm like, to me, their relationships felt really one-dimensional and like also forced, because I was like, you grew up with these people. Like, why don't I feel like you understand them at all? Like, you love your family and you're obsessed with them and you have this great childhood and you love your brother. And yet your father and your brother and your mother betray you at every turn. I'm sorry, that just seems strange.
I do think some of it is, though, the Norse belief that family is everything, you know.
I would have loved to have had that explained to me. That would have been great.
Yeah. I feel like you get it kind of when she goes to the village and you kind of figure out how everyone's living together and, you know, but yeah, I do agree that could have been set up better. I didn't mind the whole start off with her like grabbing the axe and like making a move that actually had repercussions, but showed her, I don't know, she's hot-headed. So
yeah,
that basically showed her personality.
Yeah, I think that needed to happen. Like, she needed to be the one to murder him and do it in an impulsive way because of who her gifts are bestowed upon. Like, it's not just, I forget even the goddess's name, that she's the second. Hiln and Hel. And so Hel has that impulsivity and that desire and that rage. And that's why she has this like impulsive rage. What I don't understand, and I agree with Casey on this, is like how truly blind she is to her family. Like, I feel like you can love your family, but also recognize them as deeply flawed individuals that put you in this situation. Like, she's so willing to like put herself on the sword for her brother, but then her brother like literally is just like, well, I'm just gonna get married. Like, I never
she really realized quite how shitty he was until that exact scene, you know. She's like, oh, he's off fighting and I want to be like that, and then he rolls up and he's like, do what you're told. Then she's kind of like shook about him. Her mom just sucks in general, though.
But like, she's not even,
she continues, yeah, she continues to say, for my family. And at that point, after that scene, they suck.
Yeah.
And also, she grew up with him. She didn't know he would react this way. This is a brand new personality trait of his. Like,
he went off and joined the boys in the war, you know?
She had seen him.
No.
That changed his whole personality. She doesn't have this thought of like, you're totally different. She's just like, oh, I guess I've been treated like shit my whole life. Like, just like, what? And also, I feel like part of the reason it doesn't work is because pretty much the only other like meaningful perspective we get in the book is Bjorn's. And Bjorn is like, what the fuck is your relationship with your family? Like, he's actually like bewildered and perplexed by it, which makes it seem even more like nonsensical, because he's like, Freya, stop.
It's also kind of like, we thought the same thing about Feyre for a long time. Like, why are you trying to save these people? They were terrible to you.
But she, I feel like it's different because Feyre is honest about, like, Feyre is honest about who Nesta and Elaine are. She's like, Nesta's a bitch and Elaine is like unable to help herself. And that was true.
Yeah.
What about Bjorn, who you mentioned, Mr. Sexy, rises out of the fjord, gets hit by a fish?
Okay, that scene was iconic.
That was funny.
I'll give it to them. The opening scene was quite good.
Hit by a fish.
This is another thing where I feel bad, because I actually loved Bjorn. And for most of the book, I was reading for Bjorn. Like,
yes,
I thought he was sexy. He was really funny. Like, he was believable to me. And then around like the 60 to 70% mark, Freya like really goes off the rails. Like, she's like crumbling as a human being, basically, and is like on the verge of a mental breakdown. Like, she's murdering people, she's seen people die, she's having all this conflict with her family, and she really does not know what the fuck she wants or what she's gonna do. And then she sees her mom get murdered and then leaves Bjorn by himself. And at this point, I'm just like, honestly, I don't get why he likes her. Like, the relationship after that just felt so, I was just like, what is here? I just don't understand why he wants to be with her.
Yeah. I don't really either. Also, why does he still want to be with her when she's with his dad? That one,
it was
that
weird. That whole
sitch was quite awkward. Thank God they did not consummate the marriage.
Oh, God.
I'm out. Yes. Dipping out.
I was scared that was about to happen. I was like,
I was going to dip if that was the case. I was like, absolutely not.
I was too. I was like, so nervous watching that unfold. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Like, I do not need to see this.
I finally told Bjorn that. I was like, thank God, because this man is acting a little thirsty, not knowing you haven't consummated.
Yeah, but you haven't fucked his dad. Yeah, oh God.
Yeah. No, I loved Bjorn. I thought he was like a very interesting character. And I think like, because he grew up in a different place and was kidnapped and taken for ransom, allegedly, he has perspective that most of the people in the world don't. Mm-hmm. And then also him being of Tyr and being like a blessed one, he doesn't have a predestined fate. Like, he can change his own fate. And I think that makes it, I think that's the most interesting part of the magic system, is the idea that humans cannot control their own fate, but these blessed ones can. And that's what makes them like pawns, or that's what makes them not pawns on like the gods' table. Like, they can control the fate of the world, essentially, which I thought was really interesting. And I even though I could see where Bjorn was going, because I'm like, you don't grow up in a place without feeling tied to it or indebted to it. Even if you were technically held for ransom, you are going to grow to love a place. Like, Stockholm syndrome-esque, yes, but also like,
also his dad was a shitty dude.
Yeah, like, you don't have love here. Yeah, you don't have any love here.
Yeah.
So I was like, your dad's treating you like shit and he doesn't even realize that you're about to betray him. Like, come on.
Well, we've kind of been talking already about the unfated, those who have God's blood. And so there's some supposed prophecy that a shield maiden, aka a daughter of Helm, as they interpret it, will help make a king. And Snorri decides this is him and basically forces her to hang out with him by a non-consummated marriage contract. And then says, Bjorn, you gotta hang out with this chicken protector. And I'm like, how is this chick with a sword of shield gonna like protect everybody?
Yeah,
I don't know if I totally give credit to the shield maiden thing. She did do a few things eventually that I was like, oh, okay, maybe. But I don't know, what do you think of the whole shield maiden prophecy shindig?
Well, I knew shield maidens existed, not like the magic of shield maidens, but I knew like there was more equality in the like Norse world. I mean, not to say that they were totally like, oh, feminist, woo.
Girl Vikings.
No, like Vikings were men, but the women were protecting the towns while the men were raiding. So there were shield maidens protecting their land and protecting the towns. And also like in Britannia, before the Romans come in, there are female fighters. So it wasn't until like actual Europeans came and colonized, was it that there was like actual casting of women as just homemakers. So I could believe the part where like she is like powerful and could protect people, because that's kind of in history, but I don't know how the amplification process of her powers totally works, and I don't think it's totally explained.
It's like only in that thing where they're attacking that fortress and her shield locks in with everyone else's and like protects everyone, that's when you kind of start to get the maybe scope of her powers, but I still am not sure it's fully.
Yeah.
She's not training it. That's what I'm confused about. Like, she's
not really letting her.
This is one of the biggest parts in the book that I was really mad at. Is like, okay, you have this girl with this power. For some reason, no one's interested in exploring what the fuck it can actually do. She's supposed
to train her, but that's about it.
She's supposed to be
rolling around in the fjord.
Exactly. She's supposed to be the key to winning like of this world war where you conquer every kingdom that is like known to your society. And they're just like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But then they never train.
Do you think Snorri just thinks having her is the key?
Enough. Yeah.
But then they put her in battle like she's supposed to make the big difference. Like,
it's just so people see her. And he's like, well, if they see I have the shield maiden.
But that's stupid. Like,
he's stupid, so yeah.
He is stupid, but why doesn't Freya want to explore it? Why doesn't Bjorn want to explore it? Why is no one interested? Freya has this power, she doesn't know how to use it, and like takes zero steps to actually figure it out. Every development that comes in her power is like a move out of desperation where she just like holds her hand on something and it becomes a shield.
Yeah. And all, no one was concerned about the fact that, like, when she goes through the tattooing process to get herself, yeah, that she was going to be ripped in half. Like, no one wanted to explore that. Like,
yeah,
that was, Bjorn obviously had some questions, but no one else did. And it was,
I was confusing. Like, what is the symbolism here?
But I think only the unfaded could see that.
But they couldn't see it. But Bjorn tells them, and then she tells them, like, I felt like I was being ripped in half.
Yeah, and the whole, like, your tattoo doesn't look quite right thing, I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, and the two bloods, oh my god, it was just so obvious.
It was so obvious.
Painful.
What about the Norse politics happening between the, like, apparently island kind of they live on and the island that Bjorn was kidnapped by?
I wish they delved into it more.
Yeah, we love politics.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get more in book two since we're going to the other place, but.
So my issue. Okay, so part of my thing with this book is I feel like this book is written as if it's YA, but then, like, everything that actually happens is very adult. Like, the themes are very adult, but I feel like the main character is a YA main character.
No.
It can't be. Oh, I mean, yeah. The sex, like the murders, like the
violence.
Yeah, like,
I never
basically
got
being raped by your husband.
Whiny.
Yeah.
It's YA plot with the rest of it being adult.
I don't even know. Just like the war base seems not YA, but
Hunger Games exists.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, but this is like conquest, not poor people put in a, I don't know.
Anyway. So I felt like the King of Nordland, however you say that, is portrayed as like very intelligent, very calculating, and not necessarily evil, but just like a very intelligent ruler. Like, he seems like someone who would be in power. And then Snorri is portrayed like an actual, like, bum fucking idiot. Like, and I'm like, what is happening here? He felt so easy and stupid to me that I was like, why is he a ruler? Like, I don't understand it. And I don't understand why their main enemy would be portrayed so differently. And that would not be like a thing. Like, how has he not already crushed them? Like, obviously Nordland is winning when Snorri is like what this world has to offer. I was just like,
he hasn't crushed them because of winter.
But that's where I'm just like, I just felt like Nordland was like portrayed as like so much better than them.
I think it's I think this is where the Rhysand Tamlin situation comes in, where, but Tamlin was not stupid. Like, no matter if we don't like him or not, like, Tamlin was not stupid. But I think Snorri is supposed to be Tamlin-esque. Yeah. And Nordland King is supposed to be Rhysand, which is, like, cool, calculated. Like, and I'm guessing they have, like, a city or something that's, like, everyone's living peacefully. Like, I'm guessing at this point. We do not know that for a fact. But that's kind of what I'm getting vibe-wise. Snorri's technically not the king of Scotland.
Right. No,
because he wants to be, and he thinks the Shield Maiden's prophecy.
Well, by the end, he claims he is.
Well, yeah. Sure. That's not how that works. But
I know that, but he's calling himself king at some point.
So I think I give a little bit of a grace because I do believe there are men out there in power, and especially in history, that fail upwards and are born into systems in which they do not deserve and are too stupid to realize. So the story was very believable.
And have smart wives behind them secretly kind of pushing the right direction.
So actually,
she was the most realistic part. Yes. Yeah.
Story's believable to me, but he's going to get crushed by Nordland if he continues this trend.
Yes.
Yeah, he's too cocky. He's obviously going to get crushed at some point by someone, whether it be this other place or not.
And now that he doesn't have the Shield Maiden, he has nothing to protect him.
Okay, so this is why I brought this up, is the question about how did you feel about the politics. The politics I felt a little down by, because when you have a person who is like cartoonishly incompetent and then someone who is like clearly like very intelligent and very capable, there's not really politics. It's just like biding time to crush them. Like, there was not real schemes.
I did also get the vibe that Which one do they live on? Scotland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Scotland is much bigger with much more territories, with much more jarls over them. And this is like how I envisioned it, was like more of an island nation that's very powerful. And so I think it was also maybe Snorri wasn't the prime like person to attack until he started making these crazy like claims.
No, I agree with you. But this is like another point about world building where I just don't really know. Right.
Should have been
like,
explained a little more. You shouldn't have to read between the lines to figure that out.
Yeah. And I think when you take Norse mythology, at least not mythology, when you take Norwegian and that area's history, they were very like, I don't want to say democracy because that's not technically accurate, but they're technically the first parliamentary system was made in Iceland. It was the Althing, where people every year would come to this area of Iceland in like the 1200s, and it would be elected officials from each of the towns would meet into this parliamentary system and decide on the rules of the land every year. It's very interesting. Highly recommend going seeing it. And I think that's kind of what they were trying to get at with Skulland, was like, it is like as if it was a parliamentary or oligarchical system where there is heads of towns and cities that come together to make decisions for the rest. But then you're adding in this king mythology to it.
I want a little too much.
It makes sense because that's an easy thing. It's not even a trope, but like that's the best word I can use to describe it. Easy trope to get into.
History. Eventually they went from groups to a single ruler, you know.
Yes. When you had more technology and you had more ways of getting around, it was a lot easier to conquer.
Aren't satisfied with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
But I think she's trying to merge history with also this magic system, which makes it a little jarring at times.
Yeah. Speaking of the little mountain gathering, what do you think of the scene where Frey and Bjorn are like climbing up the inside of this mountain with the ghosty things?
I'm so curious, Casey.
I mean, I liked the idea of it. Like, I was very intrigued by the concept of it. I'm such a fucking hater on this book. Like, everything they do, I feel like is just resolved a little too conveniently. Like, at first, it's intriguing. And then all of a sudden, these skeletons, like, can be negotiated with. It's just like,
I mean, they weren't really negotiated with.
Yeah, and then she shouts hell, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and it was just, I don't know. I just felt like it could have been more epic.
I mean, her figuring out she could pick up the axe was pretty epic.
That was interesting.
And the hell thing was a good development.
Also, to be fair, she didn't figure it out. Bjorn figured it out.
That's true.
Which is pretty much everything that happens in the book.
Yeah. It's also true. But I do think it was a pretty decent character building moment for Bjorn and her, because they had some deep chats and talked about some things. And that's where you really start to get the feeling that Bjorn is maybe not all in on the whole being in this land. Also, it made you definitely think that singing girl was even more of a shady bitch than you thought she was when she did not go in. Yeah. I don't know. That was probably one of the scenes I liked more, and it had more action than some of the others.
Yeah, I liked that scene. I liked the under the mountain because I think it was very interesting. Yeah, I know. I'm well aware.
In the mountain, under the mountain.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting to talk about like greed and like, I don't know if that's actually a Norse myth. But I thought
it was a good little myth within a myth. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting of like how greed can corrupt you. And that's like the literal definition of corruption. I do think with Bjorn finding out that she can pick up the axe, the book definitely portrayed her as smart, but when you read between the lines, she ain't very smart. And I think
angry to see her smart ideas.
But even then, I don't find her very smart.
I actually think she's dumb. Like, I really think she's just a dumb character, which is, yeah.
I think that I will say I agree with Casey. It does somewhat frustrate. I mean, Freya frustrated me in general, but like I could get past it because I liked the idea of the plot and the ending. But portraying her as smart, I feel like is wrong. Like that's a misleading thing to do. Like she ain't that smart.
She was also real dumb about who was meeting with the other lead.
Yeah. It was so annoying.
Like, girl.
So obvious. I was like, use your eyeballs. Use your eyeballs. Change your angle. Did it sound like a woman? I really don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I also really was hoping for the top of mountain once they got there, way more of a Kalanmai kind of scene.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, it gave watered down Kalanmai.
That was disappointing.
Yeah, I was hoping for Kalanmai as well.
I still like the vibe, you know, but
I did think it was sexy. I did like the increasing tension between the two of them. Like, I really did enjoy that part.
The sacrifice scene was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, can you do a little more for me?
Okay. Well, what did y'all think of the romance?
Slow burn.
But it's not very slow
toxic,
because
they're yeah, guess it's true. It's love at first sight, but they can't.
It feels like slow burn. That's why I wrote it on the sheet. Like, it feels like slow burn, but like because they get together in the first book, it's kind of like not really slow burn.
Yeah.
Insta love, but they can't act on it. So it's slow burn to actually act on it.
Yes.
How I. That part is probably what kept me most interested was the push and pull between Freya and Bjorn. And I know Casey probably hated it, but
I like the banter.
I liked the banter.
Okay.
I liked Bjorn.
Okay. I liked that these two powerful people are stuck in this shitty situation and are kind of just like, how can we together survive this kind of vibe? He definitely pulled a rein at the end, which was wild.
Yeah, it was obvious.
Yeah.
So my opinion on the relationship was I really liked Bjorn. I thought he was one of the only characters that actually like made sense. Like I understood him. And I really liked the slow burn part. I thought they had great banter. And I loved like the tension between the two of them. The part that lost me, I kind of mentioned this before, is like the scene on the mountain, Caitlin, I totally agree. Like I felt they totally built up plenty of like emotional depth and like physical tension that I was like invested in the relationship. But then at a certain point, Freya just becomes so insane and difficult that I like no longer understood what was really in it for Bjorn. Like he seems so dedicated to her, even though he doesn't know her that well. Like when she's like actually like a petulant child, that it at a certain point it just lost me. Like that in the beginning part of the book was something I actually really did like, but then it just felt like it kind of lost its way.
It almost needed him to be more push away or pull away kind of thing, like at the end where he still has feelings and there's this tension with her, but he is because he doesn't seem very conflicted about his lies to her. Like at the end when it's revealed, he's very conflicted, obviously, because like she's pissed at him. Like up until that point, I didn't get that conflict or inner turmoil as much. Like he seemed very like know.
There's a while in the village still where he's avoiding her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because he feels kind of guilty. Also it's trying to keep himself from falling for this person he knows he's going to have to eventually betray.
The part to
then they go through the mountain and he's like, yeah, screw it.
Yeah. So the part to me that felt inauthentic, I get it all up to the point where they are running away together. So I'm already like, I feel like the emotion of the relationship, I'm already like lost a little bit, but the fact that he decides to sleep with her and spend that night with her when he knows that he's about to have to come clean, like imminently, was like, okay, this is really fucking shitty. Like that is like a really bad thing to do. And I don't think his character was really built up that way. So it it really like hit me sideways, because obviously we saw the twist coming, but it was also like, why did he do this whole night with her when he knew like the jig was about to be up?
Well, and I think it also came at like her greatest triumph moment as a character is when she realized like she was such a problem. She needed to disappear because she was causing all this war for her people. And she was finally thinking of the people instead of herself. And then the high of that is they get together and then, you know, the betrayal falls. So it like it did extra hit you because you're like, oh, wow, she's finally kind of like got her shit together and she got the guy. And then you're like, oh.
Yeah,
well, now Bjorn sucks. Now I dislike Bjorn when I'm starting to like Freya.
Yeah. She finally realized like the idea of me, even if I don't mean it, is going to kill people. It's going to hurt people. And I'm going to be used as a pawn to kill a ton of people. And like, if I truly want peace, I need to disappear. I need to die or disappear, which I think is a very interesting concept. And I think that was done pretty well. When they run away together and he's like, we're just, I can't wait to see you pregnant. And like, we're going to raise a family and we're going to be hidden. And I'm like, y'all are too inconspicuous. Like you're too conspicuous. You can't physically do that. Like you are two blessed ones.
They were talking about going to like Europe to be farmers basically.
But like, that wasn't going to happen. Like that was obvious. And well, so,
and to fill her head with that stuff and then her realize he will never actually be happy that way. And he realizes I will never be happy that way. And he's like, okay, back to betrayal. Like that really sucks.
Literally. Yes.
It's a complete 180 flip. And I think that's a problem if you're going to sleep with a woman and then 180 flip on her the literal next day.
Yeah. I would have been cool with them actually not like manifesting that in this book.
Yeah. I felt like there was enough tension that you didn't need the sleeping with, but I think because of where fantasy has been going, especially adult fantasy, I think authors are feeling more needing to add the smut to it in order to sell and to market it as a smutty book, which I don't think is always necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, we've talked about this a little bit, but in the end, we learn that Freya is blessed by two gods and that Bjorn is a traitor, and now they're on their way to Nordaland. What did you guys think? And are you going to read the next book?
I mean, obviously, Caitlin and I are.
excellent cliffhanger. Got me. Sorry. I'm hooked on the cliffhanger.
As soon as it ended, I was like, I'm very interested in the next book. I need to know what happens. But I also got this pit in my stomach from The Serpent in the Wings of Night.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, she's going to so quickly forgive Bjorn and I'm going to be so mad at the situation.
I don't know, though, because she's a spiteful little thing. So maybe we'll get a little more realistic.
So was Araya.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe we'll get a more realistic grudge. I'm interested to see where, like, her being taken out of this situation will make her realize like her potential. Hopefully this person will actually be like, hey, let's train you and you're free here to do whatever, you know, like that's where I see it going. And I hope it's a good character development spot for her.
I almost hope that she's not free in that place, if that really makes sense. Well, because she dated,
they made it sound like she's going to be,
like, she is a daughter of hell and she just killed like 50% of their party group. So
that was,
I wouldn't trust her.
That scene made me a little sick to my stomach. Also, how did that king guy not get swallowed? Mystery.
Yes.
They said he's not God's blessed or something.
That was the only part that I found really. I was like, what is going to go on there? But yeah, okay.
And the singing bitch.
Yeah, and the singing bitch. I agree.
Got to figure out what's up there. I don't like her.
I don't either. Okay. Well, I think that's our discussion. There you have it. Do you guys have any book recommendations?
I think if you like a foreign lore with a spicy, not necessarily likable female main character, read The Drizzt Heir.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Good recommendation. So I'm going to go a book we just read, The Will of the Many. Also based on sort of an ancient society, but it's fantasy, and I liked it way, way more. I think it just gave me that politics and that like complicated lore and like really interesting, smart characters that I felt was not in this book.
I think I've already said this one, but I think Serpent in the Wings of Night has very similar vibes to this book. It's just not historical fantasy. It's high fantasy, mm-hmm. and it's vampires and not Norse mythology. But there is also gods in that world as well. So there's still like that magic system and gods blessed kind of people. So I think that's interesting. And also, I think this book is very reminiscent of that book for reasons that I don't want to spoil for people.
And there's bad dads.
Bad dads, yeah, yes.
Bad dads. Oh, the man. Is that bad dad so sexy?
Yeah, the Serpent and the Wings of Night I liked better than this book, but
yeah,
you'll find out why.
Right. Okay. Well, these are just our opinions. Today we are divided house. Let us know whose side you're on.
Just today? We're normally pretty divided, but this was a more amicable divide.
It was.
We have same grievances. Catherine and I just don't care.
Yeah.
I was very critical, but still gave it 4 stars. Yeah. So
much like in Bride, we had the same caveats, but I felt very differently about them. Okay. But yeah, so we want you to disagree. We want you to have your own opinions, and you should tell us what they are. And you can also rate this podcast and review it, please. But anyway, find us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.